Well, just to bring you up to date on a couple things, things I think you'd be interested in. I've had, I don't care to talk all that much about my health, but for the last, you might be interested in this, for the last several months I've had double vision, and it's because of a sinus thing, and I'm under treatment now, and probably will have to get some surgery for it. But there is some good news. You always want to look at some positive things. Ever since I started getting double vision, I've noticed how the attendance of the Sunday morning service... Thank you, Lord, right?
Amen.
Praise God. I am so very thankful also for modern medicine. You know, it is incredible the tests that they can do. For the last quite a few weeks, I've had what are called night sweats, and so much so that I have to change my T-shirt a couple, three times during the night. Well, so I went to the doctor, and I asked about some tests for that, and he says, we have some. And it is remarkable. I went back a few weeks later, and he looked at the tests, and he says, well, according to this... you're going through menopause. That's what he said. Thank God for modern medicine. Yeah. You notice when you came in this morning, a screen out there where that's the first of several screens that'll be going up. And over the next several weeks, you'll see some appearing in the sanctuary. We want to do that for a couple reasons. One, some people are visual learners. Most Presbyterians are audible learners, which is why we put so much emphasis on the preaching of the word. It's a hearing kind of thing. But a lot of people are visual learners, and so we're going to get some screens that will help supplement our services. Also, one of the things we learned from the earthquake drill we did several weeks ago was that people with walkers and canes really need to be able to exit this place faster. And so we're going to take out a few appropriate pews, some right in the middle, so that we can get some pass-through and easier egress. See, something else coming up. Oh, a tech team. Yes. Okay. So with these new bells and whistles, we're going to need some people who are technically inclined. You don't have to be an expert, but we need some people who can do audio and PowerPoint and some other things like that. So if you're interested, see Paul... and express your interest. We'll train you in how to do it and make it worthwhile. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Now, that's not... how many of you were reading the book of Deuteronomy this week? Yeah, I didn't think so. It's sort of towards the beginning. There's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's another one. And Deuteronomy. It's about the fifth book in there. Chapter 30. It's an interesting comment here that I want to share with you. Chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. You can look it up in your table of contents if you need that. Verse 19.
Page 320
in your pew Bible. Verse 19. It says, I call on heaven and earth as witnesses today that I have offered you life or death, blessings or curses. Okay, if you were given a choice, what would you choose? Of course you'd choose life and blessings. So choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Boy, did you catch a little subtle addition there. course you would choose life. Because when you choose life, it not only impacts you, it has a blessing on your children. Did you catch that? Just that little addition there. Choose life, and your descendants will live. Okay, so what does this mean, choose life? Well, verse 20. Love the Lord your God. Obey Him. Be loyal to Him. Speaking of loyalty, I was talking to one of the people here, and I asked how long she had been attending, and she said, 50 years. I said, 50 years? That's wonderful. And then she made this additional comment. She said, I love this church. Now, I've heard that comment scores of times. I love this church. One of the questions that I ask occasionally is when I find out that people have lived or have been in the church for a long time, I say, why? Not because I am surprised, but I'm curious. Why have some of you stayed in this church 50 years? Okay, so let me ask this. How many of you have been in this church for 50 years? Look at that, a dozen or so. 50, you're not 50 years old. Okay. We won't get into it here. It says, love the Lord in that verse 20. Love the Lord your God. Obey Him. Now, I love the Lord. And I believe that you love the Lord. I do believe that. Obey Him. Okay, now, this is where the scriptures start messing with us. Start meddling. There's a part inside of the human DNA that we want to be in charge of our own life. We bought into the lie that the serpent told to Eve, and Adam bought into it too. Go ahead. Rebel. Become independent, for you shall be like God. You know what? I like being like God. There's a part inside of me that wants to be in charge, that wants to make the decisions for those things that are good and those things that are evil. One of the things, I don't know if you've noticed, the variety of reactions to our new president. I'm sure you have. We as Americans sometimes transfer our democratic values over to God. That is to say that if we don't like our president, well, in 4 years we can change him out. We can do that. We have that kind of liberty. That's one of our distinguishing things about our country. Well, not so in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not democratic. It is a benevolent dictatorship. Is that a good way to put it? I mean, it's not one of those things that you can go to, you know, be praying and God says, I want you to do this, and for you to respond by saying, well, no, I don't think so. You know, when it says in the Bible that God gives commands, and by the way, never in the Bible does it say that God gives this suggestion. He doesn't. You won't find it. When God gives a command, God means it. And it's for our best. It's for our blessing that God gives us commandments. Well, as Americans, I shouldn't blame all of America on this for what is an issue for me. And that is, when God speaks to me and it's something I don't want to do. There's an instinct inside of me that is so independent, so by nature rebellious, that I say, do you have any other ideas? How about this, God? Let me lay it out for you as to what I think should happen. And Lord, by the way, I'm asking you to bless it. Okay, it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. We have a God who, when God gives a command, he's the supreme allied commander of those who follow Christ. And we have this decision, this choice to make. Do we follow and obey what God speaks to us and says to us? Or do we say, no? Well, there have been times in my life when God, I knew, was telling me to do something, and I said, I'm afraid. I don't want to do this. This doesn't look like a good idea to me. And I was thinking about this last night, that I can trace back some of the decisions where I've said no, and you know, in every case, it didn't turn out well. I wish I would have been able to see what God can see. Now, I'll tell you one decision I made that was very fearful for me, and that was to become a minister. Becoming a minister was not my idea. It was a call. It was a diversion from what I had planned for my life. And I was telling Judy the other day that even though this wasn't the plan that I had for my life originally, I have to say, looking back in the rear view mirror of life, that I can say, you know, God knew. God knew better than I did. But there have been other times when I didn't respond like that, and I disobeyed, and I chose to go otherwise. I still said at the same time, I love you, God, but I'm going to disobey. Well, of course, those situations didn't work out. Well, I want to give you this challenge that God is always at work around you and me. Always. God is not sitting up in heaven, sitting on a throne like Santa Claus, you know, kind of waiting to see how things are going to turn out. No, we have an activist God, a God who intentionally pursues you and me. You are here today because God sent the Holy Spirit to draw you and me into the kingdom. That's, folks, I have that very clear understanding. The Spirit of God has drawn you here today. And God is going to use you and me to accomplish the purposes that God has. And the big overriding purpose that God has is to reconcile the world to himself. God does not want this world to go to hell. God is in the business of trying to draw people into the kingdom, into a love relationship with himself. And so God is going to use you and me to accomplish that purpose. I was, one of our members, one of our members works at one of the refineries over here. And I was thinking, you know, God, I didn't say this to the guy. I wish I would have. I said, you know, God is using him in a mission field with a certain select group of friends that I could never become a part of. I will never be in those circles. And the reason is because God is using that person to reach those circle of friends. God has you in a very special purpose, in a very special place, where God is reaching people that I can't reach, that nobody else can reach. In your bulletin is an insert, and I want to have you take a look at it. God has a purpose for us. And down at the bottom is a Hebrew word, the typical Hebrew word for purpose. Now let's take a look at that bottom Hebrew word. You see what looks like the, it starts on the right hand and goes to the left in Hebrew. You see what looks like a capital M that's underlined. Well, it would become eventually our M, but it was a pictograph letter. It was a letter that not only was a picture, but it conveyed meaning to the word, and it would help self-define the word. And that word typically would signify waves, and it would... I don't know if you've ever been in the ocean where you would have swells of 12 feet or 15 feet, even more at times. Well, let's see, you're... Paul is somewhere. Paul is a sailor, and he goes out into the ocean periodically. And I don't know if you've ever been out where waves are breaking over the bow. And you begin to see how small you are in those sorts of situations. Well, that the word purpose signifies, starts off there with, that you and I are involved in something that is much bigger than ourselves. The second letter, you see, looks like a hatchet, and that's what it is. And the purposes of God are big, bigger than ourselves. And when the purpose of God comes to you and to me, it's like a hatchet that is coming down, and that the weight and the force, the momentum of that hatchet is now all at the pointy end of the blade, the edge of that hatchet. And it is going to penetrate whatever it touches. It is going to break apart whatever it begins to separate. And the purpose of God has that effect on you and me. It's like something intervenes in your life and mine. Now, this is significant. When the letter is repeated, the writer understands, and Moses in this case, the writer understands that the emphasis needs to be emphasized. That's sort of a... The emphasis needs to be emphasized. Yeah, right. It's duplicated, and he wants to add on another insight here. You see the last letter on the far left-hand side. This is the window pane. Now they didn't have glass windows like you and I have, but they did have screens. They had things that could give privacy and things like that. So that's what the almost vertical line is. But then you see the rays of light going through the screen. And that means illumination. It means insight. It means revelation. And so God's purpose at work in you is one of understanding what God is doing. And God invites you and me into that purpose. And when we look at, in my case, in my life, and I look in the past, when you look at your life and look in the past, you can see how God at times intervened. How at times God gave you insight into what was happening to you. And what purpose God has in you being around. Okay, so here are some verses. I'm just going to pick out a couple of them. The first one. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. The second one, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. And Job was a guy who probably at times didn't understand what God was doing. An innocent guy by all standards, an upright guy. And Job says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You know, either you and I are, when we find out the purpose of God in your life and mine, we either get on board or God just passes us by. Now that's not only true for individuals, it's true for churches. And towards that end, I want to share with you, I don't know if you noticed this bucket up here. The elders are very familiar with it, and the staff. Every healthy and growing church is like this bucket. And This is a genuine antique bucket. I've been told by John Myers that these kind of buckets used to hold nails and spikes like railroad spikes, and the bucket would be ideally suited for it. And I was sharing with the leadership here a couple of weeks ago that that this bucket is intended to hold things. Now, let's say that I wanted to hold water in here, and I had a thousand gallon bucket that I wanted to dump in here, and I don't know how many gallons this is. Somebody, any of you engineers, how many gallons is it? Five? Okay, 5 gallons. Okay. But let's say I put 1,000 gallons into it. Roughly speaking, and this is not a trick question. Inquire, you can see this too. Roughly how many gallons will I ever be able to put in here and it hold? 2.5, 3, something like that. Yeah. Okay. So this church has a purpose, and there are purposes in mind here that are involved, and I don't have time to go over these all, but let me just mention what some of them are. That a healthy and a growing church has functional structures. In other words, when a decision has to be made, that it can be made and not lost in committee. By the way, in the Presbyterian church, if you want to kill a good idea, send it to committee. It has to have inspiring worship. When Paul, there you're hiding back there. Have you ever been in heavy waves in your boat? Yeah. You've gone out to the Farallones. Oh man, those are big swells out there, aren't they? Is it scary? Yeah. And these waves, I mean, you begin to feel how small you are in terms of this big thing out there, the ocean. By the way, a friend of mine, this is where my ADD, this is where you hear a lot of extra stories. A friend of mine was from the Midwest, came out and he brought his 10-year-old son out to the ocean there in Southern California. And he was so excited to see the ocean. He had seen pictures of it. And so the dad was getting all the stuff out of the luggage, out of the car, the blankets and the cooler and that sort of stuff. Kid ran up to the water's edge where the water was breaking, and the kid was just sort of standing there. Dad finally caught up to him and said, hey son, what do you think? And son said, it's bigger than I thought. Well, that's the ocean, all right. Well, Paul and choir, you got us off to a great start. That was inspiring worship. Thank you. So we're working on that. Loving relationships. You know, by the way, you guys like each other. I mean, we don't have to work on this. This is something that you guys are already really good at. Passionate spirituality. We're going to hear about that in just a few moments from Rebecca. I'll just leave that go. We're already working on holistic small groups. Folks, we want you to be a part of small groups. It is vital. It is essential for you and me to be in a small group so that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord. It is not sufficient for you just to come here on Sunday morning. We want you to get into a small group, a community group, where you can talk about the things that I'm talking about, some of the things that you're dealing with in your life, some of the things that you just got to get into a small group so that you're pouring your life into somebody else and they are working with you. We're working on helping our people find their spiritual gifts, and we want our people. Do you know how the church often gets people to do stuff? I was telling this to the leadership here a couple weeks ago. A lot of times a vacancy will occur. Someone will, I'll just make this up, be teaching Sunday school or something, and they die. Do you know what the church often does historically? Church will go out and start taking the pulse of people to see if they're alive or not. And if they are alive, we will use guilt. We will be persuasive in getting that person to go help the Sunday school class. And they're not gifted for it. They don't like kids. And yet we were able to fill that hole. Do you know how the only way that they can get out is to die? That's right. You got it. You've been in the church for a while. Okay, we don't do that. We want to find out what people's gifts are. Gifts that God has given to you and me. And then we put them into ministries that are appropriate. We want to empower leadership. You know how I do that with our elders? Our elders have seen this. We will, an issue will come up, and I'll be moderating the meeting, and I certainly have opinions about these things, but they will hear me say, and they've heard it dozens of times already, I will ask this question. Elders, can some of you elders answer the rest of that? You got it. Elders, what do you want to do? And I just sit back and I watch the elders go at it. You ought to see the emails. Man, it's like my when I dial up my email account, it's like a blur. It's like a gunfight. Well, that sort of sounds hostile, but, and it's like emails are going back and forth as the elders engage in a certain issue and they're perfecting, whatever the matter is. And so we are empowering our elders to be able to stand alone, to be able to survey what God is doing in our situation, and then to help chart a course as to what we need to do. Need-based evangelism. You know, when we had the breakfast here last Advent, and we had a pile of people here. That was need-based evangelism. And I hope you were involved in that. We're going to do that again sometimes towards Lent when it comes up. Well, okay, so this is, if you want to know my game plan, if you want to know how I think, if you want to know what I'm working on strengthening, building up, restoring, advancing these eight purposes in the life of the church. There were some comments in the church newsletter about this. And we need for you to do your part. Let me be real candid here. I guess you're welcome just to come and sit. I mean, I feel obligated to say that. I don't want to turn you away. But if you want to go in the direction, if you want to get on board, then we need for you to be a part of these eight systems. And when we bring up a system that we're working on, we need for you to pitch in and do what you can do. We don't ask you to do it all, but do what you can do. God has a purpose for us individually. God has a purpose for this congregation. So someone was asking me, so what is your take on how we're doing in this congregation? And I said, I made this comment. I said, by nature, I think a pretty hopeful person. That's sort of my temperament. And I've been hopeful about this church from the very beginning, even when it was going through some very stressful times. Now I'm hopeful because I can point to things. I can say, see what's happening here, see what's happening there. Now there's evidence, there's reason actually to be hopeful. And I'm going to be making a report to Presbytery here in a couple of weeks about some of the things that I see going on in the life of this church. You and I are here and we need to be a part of what God is doing. God has a purpose. God is involved. God has taken the initiative. God wants and invites you and me to be a part of it. Let's pray. Father, your hand is upon this church. You are involved in the life of this church. You have taken the initiative to bring about new life in a church that has had a great, powerful tradition of serving you. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would continue to invite us. Be clear about your invitation. Lord, help us. Lord, we're going to sing here in just a moment, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. And when we sing that, Lord, it's going to be a prayer that we not only want to love you, but we also want to obey you. So now, Lord, help us. Fill us with your Spirit. Make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.